Hello, everybody. I'm Radio Johnny, and you are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3 FM in Moscow, Pullman. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah and Whitman recovery communities. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. The Latah Recovery Community is located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. The Whitman Recovery Community is located at 226 East Main Street in Pullman. You can contact the WRC by phone at 509-715-1111 or by email at wrccprogrammanager@gmail.com. And Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how addiction and behavioral health disorders affect us all and how we deal with them. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continued recovery. And like I said earlier, I am Radio Johnny, and in the very tiny conference room with me today is Miss Denise.
Thank you, Johnny. I'm so glad to be here today, and thank you everyone for listening.
Fantastic. Hey, we also have another wonderful person in here today, and that would be Erin Colombo, who is the coordinator of volunteers here at the Latah Recovery Community. And she's going to share with us a little bit about our big recovery festival, which is not coming up till September, but it's never too early to start planning and asking for help. So, Erin, welcome.
Thank you, Johnny. Yes, we are very much looking forward to this year's Recovery Festival, as it's a very special one this year. It is our 10-year anniversary.
Oh, yay.
And we get to hang out with our Whitman Recovery Community Center peers, along with our Vandal Recovery peers. And it's from 11 to 3 on September 13th. So here's what's funny about that. That is also the weekend of the fair at the fairgrounds. And so I figure you all can make a day of it. You can head on over to our festival at 11 o'clock, enjoy some lunch, free lunch, by the way. We usually have fried chicken, various salads, and an anniversary cake.
Oh, the cake's my favorite.
Yes. You can hang out and see if you win a raffle prize. You can visit our various nonprofits that come with information tables, such as Disability Action Center, Latah Alliance on Mental Illness, Salvation Army, who provides us with gas vouchers throughout the year, and utility vouchers for those in need. So we really want to thank those folks what they do for us.
Always nice recognizing those people yes. that pitch in and help out yes. with our cause as well as their own.
Yeah. Yes. And our local CHAZ office here on Main Street, they now have a mobile health clinic, and they will be there offering free flu shots.
Oh, nice.
I'm super excited about that. Let's see what else we have. Raffle prizes are offered by local businesses such as One World Cafe, North Idaho Athletic Club, Ampersand, Book People, really great prizes.
Oh, fantastic.
And then what we call Recovery Out Loud, where peers and local community members can share their recovery journeys, which are always super interesting and just super encouraging for all of us who may be struggling. So you come, you eat, you learn, you fellowship with community members, you enjoy music, great music by Solid Ghost.
Solid Ghost is going to be there.
They come every year and they play some cover music, instrumental, and then they throw some of their own great music in.
Yeah, their original stuff is really good, too. Kind of a rock jazz fusion.
It's kind of like very cool. You feel like you've heard it before, you know, but even though it's original. And it's always a beautiful day. So come on over and then head over to the fair. Make a full day of it.
Right.
But we want to see you. We want you to see what we're doing. It's very exciting.
And important.
And important.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think people realize enough that the Latah Recovery Community Center and the Whitman Recovery Community Center, all our offerings are free. It's free. We have free peer support, free recovery coaching. We have access to get you connected with any sort of professional person that you might need to see. And none of it costs a dime. All it costs is your time to come in. And, you know, it's kind of something I've been pushing for a while is big banners out front that say free, free, free recovery.
Yes.
You know, because people walk by on the street and I've asked a few of them, did you see the recovery center down there? Yeah. Well, what do you think that is? Oh, it's one of those places where, you know, you go in and they connect you with a counselor and see if your insurance covers it. And I'm like, oh, no, it's all free. And they're like, oh, really? Yeah.
Yes.
So remember, free, 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 free.
Yes. Absolutely. So again, September 13th, Saturday, 11 to 3.
11 to 3.
And we hope to see you there. Radio Johnny will be emceeing, as he does every year.
Yeah, he just found out. Actually, we'll have to talk about that. I may be in Alaska.
Oh, Johnny, just...
Are you going on a cruise?
You know, no, you don't get to have a social life. All right, well, I'm sure you'll have some suggestions for someone.
I will...
Maybe someone in the room.
Maybe.
I will check my calendar because I really have enjoyed it the last few years that we've done it, and you know, even participated in the Recovery Out Loud portion of the thing. 30 years, I got a lot of stories, so it'll be interesting.
Yes.
So thank you, Aaron, for coming in and sharing this with us, and keep going along here, and we'll touch bases with you coming up next month to see where we are, and we'll go from there.
Perfect. Oh, it's at East City Park.
East City Park,
forgot to mention that, in the stage area.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you, Aaron. We'll talk to you again soon.
Great information. That's great. Thank you.
So I hope you're all looking forward to that. September 13th, 11 to 3 at East City Park. Come check out the Recovery Festival. And today, Denise and I are going to talk about a bunch of random stuff because we didn't really nail down, nothing earth-shattering grip me, except there's a couple things. Denise is going to share about something she wrote for the Toastmasters thing that she does, which is... kind of an organization that helps people learn about public speaking, you know, how to present things, how to wave your hands appropriately, and you know, write speeches that connect with people. And then we're going to talk about how things get better in sobriety, which, I mean, it's kind of a duh, things are going to get better, but the way things get better is interesting. To me, anyway, because they got better in ways I never expected. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it is a whole thing for sure.
But we'll start out. Why don't you tell us a little about your experience in Toastmasters and then what you did here that you were telling me about earlier.
Sure. So I started in Toastmasters this summer. Well, I guess spring. It was April. And I've wanted to do this for a while because there was a fellow leader at Restoration Night at my church that would get on stage and do lessons and things, and he just really did an extraordinary job. And I found out that he took Toastmasters for a couple of years. And as I was kind of putting my feelers out for who was doing that and where, there just wasn't any. I think it might have been during the pandemic that they weren't able to continue. There was something as to why there wasn't anything locally. So recently, Sherry Hall started our Latal Toastmasters Club over at Real Life Church, and we meet on Tuesdays from 5 to 6:30. And it's been a really cool experience. I've wanted to improve on my ability to do public speaking and to be able to write things. And so my role last night was two things, and one of them was to share a quote. And recently I watched on The Chosen in season 5, episode 4.
And The Chosen is a television series.
It is. Yeah. And I watched it on Amazon Prime, so Prime TV.
Yeah.
And so the fourth episode this year had basically the Last Supper with Jesus. And they went around the room and they were doing this thing called, I'm going to spell it for you because I think there's two different ideas on how it's said. So it's D-A-Y-E-N-U. So one of my friends thought it was Danu. And when I was listening online, I heard it more like an I sound, like
Dainu.
Yes, Dainu. Yeah. Yes, thank you. And so that's still kind of up in the air on how we pronounce it. And I do believe that it is Hebrew. And so a Dainu is a song traditionally sung during the Passover Seder, proclaiming gratitude for God's actions during the Exodus from Egypt. And Dainu means it would have been enough. So I wrote my own, and I shared it last night, and it was really kind of fun to be able to do that. So I'm just going to give you a couple lines of an example here real quick. If he had only brought me into this world and not given me my health, it would have been enough. If he had given me my health and not my loving mother, it would have been enough. If he had given me my loving mother and not my wonderful grandparents, it would have been enough. If he had given me my wonderful grandparents and not my childhood faith, it would have been enough. And so it just kind of goes on like that. And I actually get pretty personal about some of the things that I'm grateful to God for. There's just some things that have to do with, you know, my life being saved, my daughter's life being saved, having children, different kinds of things. And it was really fun to be able to do that and write my own. Because yeah. I haven't come up with any other quotes that I wanted to do. I think other people come up with some good stuff. And I think the only one I've thought of is like the Brianne Brown in the arena speech. And that's just pretty amazing because she talks about, in her TED Talks, about that process of being a public speaker and receiving all this criticism and it being just really hard. People were picking on her looks and different kinds of things. So she later shared about how, you know, if you're not in the arena, like trying to do these things, then you really shouldn't have an opinion. And I just thought it was really neat. And of course, you know, the way that she explains it is absolutely beautiful and eloquent. And that's about the only thing that I'd really like to share there.
Yeah.
So thanks for letting me share. Thanks for listening.
No, that's really cool. And it actually brings up, kind of a side topic that sparks in my mind because today on the phone this morning, one of my sponsees who's far flung in Pittsburgh, was talking about his job and his work, and he didn't know if he really liked it or not. And, you know, and I said, when was the last time you wrote a gratitude list, which is kind of an exercise mm-hmm. we do in AA that, allows us to kind of shut out the noise that's going on around us and really look at the blessings that we've had recently or even in the past. The simple things like exactly what you were talking about there, you know, it would have been enough.
Right.
The fact that I'm sober today is a miracle enough because
so when
I got to that jumping off place they describe in the AA literature, I didn't know how I was going to live with or without alcohol. And that's a totally hopeless state of mind. So for me, I never forget that. And I never forget to have gratitude for the fact that, but for some divine intervention, I'm alive today. I could not have survived going on drinking the way I used to. It was just a matter of time.
Right.
You know, whether it was going to be disease like cirrhosis or a wet brain, as they call it, which is actually your brain dries out, but, you know, wet brain or a car accident, and maybe I take someone else with me. which would have been horrible. So, you know, just being grateful for that one particular thing. But there are so many things. And that kind of moves into the idea of things getting better and how they get better in different ways. You know, like for me, when I originally got sober, it was some time before I was really employable again. You know, my brain needed to clear. I had to get rid of these ideas of these grandiose thoughts of, you know, who I was and what I could be, and just come to the realization that I'm just the guy, just doing what a guy needs to do to support his family and be a member of society who's helping society, not putting a drain on it, right, like I was when I was drinking. But when I did finally get the opportunity to go to work, it was literally from the thought of, I need to look for a job today. Someone walked into my life literally minutes later and handed me a business card, and I had a job the next day.
Right.
That's things getting better in an unexpected way. I mean, I was fully expecting to spend time, you know, digging through, in those days, the newspaper. We didn't really have the web back then. Mm-hmm. Sending out applications or resumes to 100 places, hoping to get back, you know, 5 responses that didn't say no thanks. And, you know, out of those, maybe getting 2 interviews and then still sending out 100 more resumes trying to find something. Because when I got sober, it was not the best time in this country to be looking for work. We had just come out of a recession in the early 90s. People were still building back up. My particular niche, which was computer manufacturing, was long gone. It was all offshored by that time. So there was nothing really like that in the area I was in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is crazy. But, you know, there were people, there were still some jobs in it, but because the way things had changed, there were engineers with 20 years of experience doing the kind of work I did without a degree and with only, you know, at that point, maybe 15 years of experience. So it was really tough, but I fell into something that I could do. I actually kind of enjoyed doing it. I worked with a bunch of people that were, you know, not the bitch and moan type about their job. It's like team effort. Let's get in and do it. I'll help you. You help me, sort of thing. And things went on from there and got better and better and better. But I don't want to go on forever about that. Denise, you had, I think, from knowing you from the time basically that you got sober shortly after, I've seen things like that happen to you as well.
They have, yeah, they have. What comes to mind today that's a little bit interesting is, it's been my thoughts lately that because I'm sober today and I've had the time to work on things in my life and heal and address things and be emotionally regulated and be stable in work and a routine and all those kinds of things, that I'm able to be present for my children and friends as they're going through really hard things. Because that's a lot of really what's been going on this last 6 years is the people in my life really struggling with different kinds of things, whether it's the health of my mom or the mental health of 2 of my kids, being able to hold space for what they're going through and at the same time still cry about it. Like, it's okay. You know what I mean? It's okay to cry about it, to have emotions, to seek support and hugs from people, you know? And I think before, if this would have been, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I wouldn't have handled it well. And I could have most likely caused more problems than actually being there for my family and my friends during hard things that they're going through. So that to me is a huge benefit of being in recovery that's now happened. I'm now about 11 and a half years in recovery. And so it's just being able to be supportive, especially for my kids who did suffer from me being in addiction as they were children. And so, you know, that part super sucks. The hardest part about being in addiction and making those poor choices were how it affected people around me. So even just today, being in recovery makes it to where, like you said earlier, I'm not affecting the world in a bad way. I'm being a productive citizen. I'm not breaking the law, causing problems and stuff like that. I can show up and be helpful, yeah, and manage my home and stuff. So I think that's the biggest benefit. I wanted to share that yesterday, I had a little bit of a rough day. It started out, I was taking my middle daughter to, I thought, Deary, but she wound up needing to go to Lewiston, which kind of threw my morning because I kept telling her it was 45 minutes each way to get to where she wanted to go. Anyways, I wound up being in an area that I don't usually travel, and I had turned onto that street, and I said, oh, I wonder what the speed limit is. Looked up, saw it was 25, I was going 35, and there are the lights behind me. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was kind of a trap. I went to my chiropractor's office and was telling the receptionist what happened and where I was. And she's like, oh, I've gotten a ticket there too. And I was just like, it sucked because the parallel street to it, which is 21st, and I think I was on 17th, is 35 miles an hour.
Right.
Anyways, $90 ticket. I was not a happy camper.
No.
I was not. I haven't gotten a speeding ticket in like 20 years.
Yeah.
So I was super bummed about that. Turns out I wasn't able to make my chiropractor appointment. Super sad. I have stuff going on with my adult son that's just really difficult that I found out more about yesterday. And it was all around kind of a hard day, you know? And I remember getting ready for bed last night, and I thought, you know, I need to take a moment and think about this. At least I had a car to get around in to get that ticket. That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's important. It's hard that happened, but I need to look at the grateful part. Even though my son's having a really hard time and there's just really difficult things going on in his life and my heart is so sad, I'm sober today, I'm in recovery, and I can be present to hold space for what's going on with him.
Right.
And I can maintain myself in a healthy way through this. That is wonderful. And I just need to remember those things. And it's okay for the things that were hard yesterday to be hard. It's okay for me to be upset about getting a ticket. It's, you know what I mean? I was super disappointed.
It's just a tax for wanting to drive fast anyway.
Ugh, I was not intending to speed, but anyways, $90 I will have to pay when I get paid again. But yeah, anyways, no one died. And that was the other thing I thought, well, you know, at least it wasn't a car accident or anything like that. No one got hurt. So
right.
Trying to look at the bright side. I think honestly, the gratitude and trying to remember to hold space for what is actually good and what you have is very important.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And when you talk about being able to hold space, I think the reference is, you know, hold space in your mind and heart for things outside of yourself. And that's a big part of my recovery program. We have to let the selfish, self-centered part of us that, you know, thrives on our addiction, we have to let that go so that we can do what you're talking about. You know, our three primary concepts are trust God, clean house, and help others. And no one of those things is more important than the other. I can clean house, do my inventory, you know, make amends as needed. And I can trust my God to point me in the right direction when it's not obvious to me. But if I don't do that third thing, you know, it's right before we started, I got a phone call from a fellow in the program, and he said, I didn't pick up the phone because we're getting ready to start this, and I could always call back, and people know to leave me a message because I'm a busy guy from time to time. So I did listen to his message and had time to shoot him a quick text saying, hey, I'm doing this right now, but I'll give you a call when I get done with this. And it can be as simple as that. It can be more difficult, like, or more time consuming, I should say, to, you know, go through steps with somebody, spend time studying the book and that sort of thing. But, you know, that's also a space. Time is a finite commodity. You know, we only get 24 hours in a day to accomplish things. And if you talk about your addiction, I know you probably have spent a lot more time finding your drug than I did finding alcohol. My problem was finding the money to find the alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know,
that can
go both, you know, with both ideas too. But yeah, I mean, that's part of the space that sobriety creates. And that's the interesting thing. I always, you know, as busy as I am, I always seem to have time, and the opportunity presents itself. Like this morning, I was by myself. My wife was off doing something, and the phone rang, and it was my friend in Pittsburgh. And we talked for 20 minutes, basically about nothing. You know, we talked a little bit. He was concerned about his job. And he says, yeah, I went in to tell the guy I quit. And then I ended up asking him for more hours. And I'm like, okay, how did that happen? And so we went down that bunny trail for a while. But, other than that, you know, it's just how things go and what you're going to do. It's his day off, and he doesn't drive, so he takes buses and trolleys and stuff around Pittsburgh and the general area. And I just said, hey, well, you got the whole day off. Maybe you can catch a meeting somewhere. And he's like, oh, yeah, there's an Alano Club over here. I can get there, blah, blah, blah. I think I'll go do that. So I guess it was important that I took a minute to talk to him. He also has budgeting issues. So, maybe he won't spend $50 on moleskin notebooks and fancy pens. Yes, this is for you, Jeff. I know he'll be listening to this as a podcast later.
And what I hear you saying is that you allowed time for your friend to process with you, and I think that's just so helpful when we hear ourselves talk things out loud, and then we start getting our brains wrapped around the direction we need to go or however that looks that we need to understand. And then you offered, the suggestion about a meeting. I mean, that's perfect. I mean, sounds wonderful.
Yeah. And it's kind of a guy thing. I was reading, it was a little short article from a fairly well-renowned psychologist. And he talked about how men, aren't trained to connect with their emotional side. We try and fix things. We're like programmed to do things, accomplish things, fix things, kill the bear, feed the family, that sort of stuff. And if you ask a man about his emotional side, be careful, because you're probably not going to like what you hear, because we're stuffers. It just tends to be that way. I know not everyone's that way, right? But as a generalization, it's fairly spot on. Yeah. But, when I get into these conversations with men about, what's going on in their life, what their recovery looks like, what they want it to look like, it can get to an emotional place. I have one fellow who lost a 6-year-old son just recently, and I can't imagine the emotional insanity that's going around with that. But I can be there and I can listen to him and I can ask him how he's doing, which I do on a regular basis, just to kind of check in and say, hey, how are you doing? What's up? Anything I can do? Sort of deal.
Yeah.
And so that's, that's an important part of what I do in my program.
Yeah, that community and connection with people, so important.
Yeah.
And it's good connection. It's a healthy connection.
Right. You're being of service, we call it. So,
yeah.
And let's see, the other, some other things that things get better. I have in sobriety lost jobs that I thought were great, just through no fault of my own, mostly, just layoffs and things like that. But always the next thing that came along was even better.
Right.
I started out working, we call it on the ladders, redoing light fixtures, cleaning them, putting in new equipment. And, it was busy work. I was tired when I was done. We weren't humping logs up on the mountain or anything, but, still running up and down ladders, doing this and that, working in weird conditions, trying not to drop things on people's heads. And when that ran out, I bumped into a fellow who had actually, we were doing a job for, who hired me to be a project manager, and went on from there and did a bunch of other things, never for less responsibility or less money for that matter. All those things were unexpected. I did not plan any of that. It just kind of happened. And I think it happened because, I was willing to say yes to anything that just didn't sound harmful.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
And it, again, getting better.
I was going to jump in and say that. There's something else that comes to mind that in recovery has changed. So I was a person who used, like, in my later 20s and through my 30s, so about 12 years there. Prior to this, I had taken good care of myself, went to the doctor, did all the things. But during recovery, that kind of didn't happen as it should. And so when I got into recovery, that first year, even, you know, going to the doctor, getting, you know, yearly blood work done, all these kinds of things that you do to take care of yourself, preventative types of things. So just being aware and participating in my health and doing all the things that I need to do to take good care of myself, you know, that was something that came back into the picture, which right. is so beneficial, I feel like. There are some people who just don't go to the doctor, and that's okay. That's their choice. But it wasn't something that was a part of my life. I had taken care of myself until that happened, where I wasn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm still doing that today.
And that's another thing, yeah. You know, the willingness that I engage in allowed me to, you know, I was having what I think were just, you know, kind of like age-related memory issues. And then I also have this, what they call an essential tremor, where my hands in certain positions, you know, shake. And it was more embarrassing for my wife than me. I'm just kind of used to it. But when she finally insisted that I go to a neurologist and see,
what's
going on, kind of resisted it. But I, you know, something just said, yeah, go. I mean, what,
right.
if it is Parkinson's, if it is, you know, some other thing, better to know now rather than when it gets really bad in 5 years and there's no treatment. So we went, and the good news was there was no sign of Parkinsonism or whatever. And she suggested that I just go get an MRI of my brain and make sure there's not too much white matter like would show up with, you know, dementia or Alzheimer's. And they didn't find any of that, but they did find two masses in my brain, which prompted a whole lot of concern on my part and my immediate family's part. But, you know, I wouldn't have known that had I not just been willing to go and see this person. You know, like it was kind of good news, bad news. Good news is you don't have Parkinson's. Right. The bad news is you're growing two additional brains, which, by the way,
which sounds like it would be a good idea, right. But apparently it's not, from
right.
what you're saying.
Right. Well, especially in my case, yeah. I could use two more rational
brains. I feel
like
brains. I could use like the part of my brain that has better memory. I feel like I'm losing some of that.
Oh, yeah. Just wait.
Yeah.
It gets worse. Better, actually. No, but, you know, and by the way, you know, that's been under control for 3 years now. I go and get regular scans over at University of Washington Fred Hutch Cancer Center. And they don't seem to be growing significantly, and they're in areas of the brain that's doesn't really affect anything. And the bad news is they still don't know what's causing the tremors. They just say,
Yeah,
it's unrelated to it.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, I keep asking them, so what about the tremors? And they're like, yeah, so what? You know, use two hands when you pick up a cup of hot coffee, which, by the way, is good advice, because hot coffee in your lap
sucks.
Bad way to start the day. Really bad way to start the
day. That sounds like it hurts a lot.
Yeah. But again, it got better. I found out I didn't have something, and I found out something that I needed to address.
Yeah.
But not planned by me. You know?
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of the thing, you know, having our loved ones and our friends around to be able to point things out that maybe we're not realizing we should do, or, you know, it's good. It's really good to have people around that care about you.
Right.
You know, family, accountability, people, friends.
Right.
You know, it's always sounded like when you've shared about talking with your fellow members, okay,
yeah.
That you've known these men for quite some time. And the neat thing about that is that when they reach out to you or you reach out to them, like, you know all the background. So conversations can be just straight to it because you all have known each other for a long time. And that interaction can just be very valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also something, a common thread with a lot of these people, even people I haven't known very long. And that's this, we have this common problem of alcoholism or addiction.
Right.
And we also have this common solution, this AA program. So when I do talk to other men about, you know, issues they're having or whatever, I look to myself for experience for it. And if I don't have experience with it, we go back to the book. Because the book addresses 90% of those things. Mm-hmm. And for that 10% that's not in the book and not in my experience, I call another guy.
Right.
Because I probably know somebody who's had that experience and dealt with it sober mm-hmm. and not had to drink over it, as we say, or drink at it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that community, that fellowship makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. You and guys that's have a common language too,
right, exactly.
of that AA. Yeah.
Exactly. Not that it's a secret language or anything, but mm-hmm. you know, I'm feeling squirrely means something different to an alcoholic than just your average person on the street.
There you go. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So getting better there. And then as far as mental health getting better, things have happened to me that I didn't even recognize were happening to me. You know, the people came up to me later and, or, you know, after I was sober for a while and they're like, something different about you. And it's not like I went out and, you know, hung a flag on my house that said, recovered alcoholic lives here, you know, woohoo. Or that I, you know, wore a badge that said, I'm in AA, you know, you can trust me now. It was just a matter of spending enough time doing the right thing, the next right thing, and working in this program. Our foundation is on honesty, openness, and willingness. And it's surprising how not only being honest about something makes things easier to remember. Lies are always hard to remember, and I always get caught.
Cause anxiety
anyway.
Too.
Yeah.
Yep. It's not good.
So that rigorous honesty that we're asked to try and practice in this program actually brings in a lot of good things around it. I mean, I've been honest enough to say to an employer, "This is dumb, and this is why I think it's dumb," and have them not fall back on the old line. Well, this is the way we've always done it. They seem to respect the fact that if you want to keep doing it that way, it's fine with me, but this is dumb. And this is what we can do to undumb it.
Nice. Well, you know, when you have big brain thoughts, it's good mm-hmm. to share them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's our gift from our higher power to let us use our brain capacity and our emotional states for the good instead of for manipulating people.
Right.
I'm sure you never did that, though.
Oh, Johnny, I don't know what you're talking about. Back when I was using, I may have a time or two.
Or 20. Or daily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life was a lot different back then. The priorities were a lot different. And with those kinds of priorities, it's not a pretty scene. So.
Yeah. Like I was telling a person the other day, I had a friend who's in active alcoholism, and the way he'd get around paying bills late was he would put the utility, the like power bill, into the water bill envelope and mail it off, and then same thing with the water bill and the power bill envelope and mail them off, and by the time things got straightened out, he would actually have money to cover the checks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, it's clever.
Right,
it was clever,
yeah.
But wrong.
Wrong, yep.
Totally wrong. Yeah. But yeah, hey, it worked out for him. So, you know, who am I to complain?
It's working a maneuver.
That's right. That's right. Well, hey, just about out of time here. Thank you for your sharing your thing there from Toastmasters.
The Diane.
Do you want to throw out a free advertisement for them?
Sure. So our Latal Toastmasters is at Real Life Church, like I mentioned. And if you, let's see, I'm trying to think of the best way to get signed up for that. You know, you could give me a call here at the Recovery Center, and I could get you connected with them.
Right.
It's possible that you could look it up just on Toastmasters.com. Boy, I really need to know the answer to that. I'm sorry.
Right.
To see the different meetings, because I think that there is a way to look up Toastmasters and find a meeting in your area.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Yeah,
sure,
so I will work on that for next time to have a better answer.
Yeah.
But you can always reach out to Denise at the Latal Recovery Community, and I can get you connected. I just don't want to really give out
wrong information.
Well, I don't want to give out my friend's number who runs it.
Right.
Because I feel like that might just be a little too much on the radio.
You're
so
fine.
So just reach out to me.
Yeah, 208-883-1045. Yeah. Ask for Denise. She's the only one here.
Yeah, that's attending it right now. It's just really a great time. We have a really nice supportive group, and part of what I did last night was the general evaluator of the meeting, and I just really love the different things that people are sharing. They're actually really helpful to know. A lot of us are on the second speech, which is a speech with a purpose, and so there's just a lot of good information being shared about things that are good habits or good things to know that people are doing in our group. So it's really nice, and and I personally feel like I do pretty good at being vulnerable about the speeches that I'm writing, you know, if they have to do with myself or something like that. And I think that's a quality that I got just from being in recovery and just being comfortable with talking about my struggles, where I was and where I am now. And, you know, in my faith, that's all due to God working in my life and all the other people that have put time in, like you've shared about, and helping me. So,
Yeah, and again, you know, it's really based on public speaking. You know, there's a lot of different responsibilities that go along with it. It's not just a gather around and BS about speaking.
Yes, actually.
It's some serious business.
It is. And so we have this schedule thing that organizes all the people that are in there. I think we have around 20 people right now. And so our secretary puts in all the names for the upcoming meeting, and it shuffles them all around and chooses what they're going to do based on the things that they've done before.
Right.
And so everybody has something to do, from, you know, being the Toastmaster of the evening or an evaluator or like doing a table topics or something like that. There's a lot of fun things to do. And I want to first say that you are welcome to come as a guest and just check it out, just see what we do. And you wouldn't have to necessarily do anything.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All righty then. Well, I'm glad we got a little bit of that out there.
Yeah, thanks.
Call Denise, 208-883-1045, Toastmasters. And if you need a recovery coach.
Right.
She's available for that too.
Two birds with one stone, I guess.
Yeah. And I also, you know, real quickly, can't say it enough. Everything at the Recovery Center, free.
Yeah.
Free. Okay. Get that right.
Yep,
free.
And the crisis side is also free as well.
That's right. And we'll close it off with the usual. You know, if you think you have a problem with substances or behavioral health problems, you do.
Take a little dope and walk out in the air. The stars are all connected to the brain. Find me a woman and lay down on the ground. Her pleasure comes falling down like rain. Get myself a car, I feel power as I fly. Oh, now I'm really in control. It all looks fine to the naked eye, but it separate rooms. You other's eyes. Both think we know what's right, both know we know what's wrong. We tell ourselves so many, many, many lies. We're not pawns in any game, not tools of bigger men. There's only one who can really move us all. It all looks fine to the naked eye.